sing that chorus together again. Oh, I bowed on my knees and cried holy. I cried holy. Lord, you're so holy. Have a praise this morning. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Did you enjoy church here last night? Wasn't the word of the Lord wonderful? Amen. If you think you're going to come here and get told how good you are, you're just as wrong as you can be. But I'm so glad that we get corrected from the word of God. And you know what? I'm so glad I love it, aren't you? Are you glad that you can come to a place and receive correction and leave with an appreciation in your heart more than you had before you got here? Give the Lord another big hand clap of praise if you love Him today. Hallelujah. Now why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church on Sunday morning. Play some more of that. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look at our prayer request. If you will, just stand with me. We don't have that many this morning. I want to pray for Brother Howard, Sister Yvetta Collins. Both are sick, need healing in their body. Sister Connie Cook says she's not feeling well today. Would appreciate your prayers. Thank you, and may God bless. We'll remember Sister Angie Brown for a special need. The Lord knows all about it. We'll just commit that unto the Lord this morning. I want to pray for Richard and Diane. They both have the flu. Sister Lucille Adkins sends that in. Please pray for Ian Adkins, has the flu, so let's pray for that request today. Sister Laura Wyko says to please remember Brother Sam Wyko in prayer. He's not feeling well, at home sick this morning, unable to be in the house of the Lord. Sister Barron has an unspoken prayer request. We want to commit that unto the Lord. And let me read you this testimony. This is from Brother Bob King. Last Sunday, I tore a muscle in my right shoulder, loading heavy split wood. Very painful, couldn't use my right arm, couldn't snap my seat belt or emergency brake. The orthopedic said 4 to 6 weeks to heal. Wednesday, we requested prayer and we prayed at home. On Thursday, I took off the sling. On Friday, I said to my wife, I am healed. On Saturday evening, yesterday evening, I loaded my porch with heavy split wood using my right arm. He didn't just heal me for me. I have a precious wife that needs me 24/7. Thank you for praying, Brother Bob King. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Isn't God good? We believe that, don't we? How many of you know He's a healer? If He healed once, He'll heal every time. If He saved you once, He can save anybody He wants to save. I'm glad for that this morning, aren't you? Brother Robert, come, lead us to the Lord. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We'll just commit these things unto the Lord. Brother Robert, God bless you. Appreciate you.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, how thankful we are to come into Your presence, Lord. How thankful we are to come and enjoy a testimony like that. Thank You, Father, for hearing us. Thank You for the grace in our hearts to receive You. Thank You for the mirror to reflect what it is we have to do, Lord, on our end to complete this great plan You have prepared for us. I pray, Lord God, help us to be worthy of that great day. And thank You for the testimony of an answered prayer to give the body faith, Lord, to be able to believe the promise and step into the vision. Lord, I thank You for Your grace. I thank You for these prayer requests. I thank You most of all for hearing our prayers and our needs and our joy and our desires of our hearts to make them fulfilled in this day. Thank You for Your strength and Your joy and peace. And we ask all these things in the continued the prayers of the saints, Lord, to be heard and that You'd minister to her back to us and we would minister to You. We look forward to the word today and we're so thankful in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us in the service today, we want to welcome all of you here. Glad you're here. All those that are streaming the service from around the world, pray that those folks would be blessed as well. Isn't it good to be in the house of God today? Amen. Let's sing a song this morning. We're going to learn some new songs. We've got several we've got set aside to learn. We just don't have the words to them yet. So we're going to learn those songs, brethren, aren't we? Musicians, we're going to learn those and we'll learn it as a congregation together. But until we learn them, let's sing one that we've sung quite a bit. But I'm glad that we can sing it. Know it's the truth. I'm glad He's in the house today, aren't you? Not just in our presence in this room, but He's in these houses that we come to church in. Aren't you glad that He's in your house? Look at somebody and say, He's in my house. Now look at him and say, is He in your house? Amen. Let's sing about it if you will.
Little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when He said she's only sleeping. As He took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, we touched this heart of mine. He gave me life again. I am just a house of clay, but ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me. This heart of mine, He gave me life again. I am just a house of clay, but ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see.
Let's sing this little chorus just before we change the order of the service. Have a couple of specials for you this morning. Brother Fred Green, if you want to come onto the platform. Then Sister Cindy, Sister Anna, Brother Harry have us a song. We'll just enjoy our specials today. Look forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus. He's an on-time God. Do you believe that with all your heart? Look at somebody and say, He is an on-time God. Amen. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Well, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Oh, He may not come when you want Him, but He'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. I know He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Well, He's an on-time God. I know He is. Oh, He may not come when you want Him, but He'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. One more time. Well, He's an on-time God. bless you. You can be seated. Brother Fred, come.
There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of His Spirit is lost, and you hurry along with the pleasure-mad throng. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Will you trade your hope of eternity's morn for one moment of joy at the most, for the glitter of sin and the things it will win? Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? While the door of His mercy is open to you, ere the depth of His love you exhaust, won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, I yield? I have counted. I have counted the cost. Sing the chorus with me. Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost,
heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song.
The Lord. Let's turn today, if you would, to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22. James, chapter 1, verse 22 through verses 25. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And this is why. Deceiving your own selves. So a person then that hears and doesn't do anything about it, they're deceiving themselves. You would get so mad at me, and you'd have a right to. You would get so mad at Brother Horn or Brother Gene or some of these other preachers if you found out we intentionally were trying to deceive you. Why don't you get mad at yourself? You'd call me a hypocrite. You'd do everything but cuss me if you found out I was intentionally trying to deceive you. Good way to start out the service then. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man, beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, which is the problem, goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, that's where I want to be found.
Amen.
Continueth therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now what you notice, not a doer of the word. A doer of the work. So what is the work? The word manifested. So this man that is a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now let's look at mirrors. All of you have used them all of your life. But let's look at it from a two-dimensional point today. Mirrors are two-dimensional. A mirror image is a reflection. It is the exact same light reflected off of you that anybody else might see in a two-dimensional form. It is the closest thing there is to the original reflection and still not be the original reflection. A painting or photo are replica images using media, be it paint or silver emulsion. Now think, a mirror has dimensional capability because it gives you depth, which our eyes have the ability to perceive depth. So a photograph of you or a painting of you is on what? A flat surface. Great artists, they have an ability to be able to paint on things and it looks as if though it's dimensional, but it's not. The linoleum in my bathroom floor and here in my study, it looks like a slate stone. It's got little grout joints on the inside of it. The way they were able to print that and make it, it looks as if though it's real. I've touched it over and over again because it looks like it's so deep from the gray grout joints. But every time I touch it, it's always flat. You realize a lot of Christians are picture Christians. This is why we get so surprised whenever we find out this person done that and that one done that. You know why? We knew them only by picture. We wasn't seeing the dimensional view of that individual that the word was showing them when they were sitting right by you in church. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you today, Lord. We so appreciate your word. I pray that you'd speak to us today, dear God. Thank you for the privilege that we have that we can come together under the presence of the Almighty God. Lord, we don't want to leave here today just being hearers, but we want to do the works of a real child of God. Speak to us, I pray today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We know, we understand, you may be seated, that man has broken into several different dimensional views. I'm certainly not a theologian, nor am I a person that can explain how it all works, but I've read enough about it to know that it's there and know that it exists. God, in making our eyes, gave us the ability to perceive not only flat images and light and dark, but to perceive depth, how that we're able to look at things. And some things even are able by the human being to be able to pick it up in more of a three-dimensional perspective. But yet a mirror reflects something a little bit different about us than what maybe sometimes we would even want to see. Because it won't lie to you if it's a real true mirror. Now you may want to walk up and say, you know what, I don't look like I've gained weight in Christmas time, do I? Really, I think I look pretty slim. But step on the scales in the mirror together and you realize your eyes is lying to you. And then you know spiritually then we want to look at ourselves sometimes and think, well, I'm all right. I'm doing okay, I believe. I believe everything is all right. But if we really look into the mirror of the Word and let that Word really from a two-dimensional perspective, not only from just a casual glimpse, but from the very depths of where we are. Now, to me, I don't want to be the type of a person, the type of a Christian, to where that I am a photograph Christian or that I am a painting Christian. I want to be the type of a Christian that I can really, in the very depths of me, not only two dimension, but in three dimensions, to be able to look at me of what I am from my soul, my spirit, and my body. And let the mirror of the Word be able to show what I am and what I need in all of those aspects so that I can be the type of person that the Lord wants me to be. Because I look at being a Christian, I don't just look at what God desires for me to be as being someone who fills a spot in a pew. I'm not called just to be a preacher to stand up and say some words and then we all go home and we do this three times a week and we repeat our religion. But I believe God wants me and you to be real, real mirrors of His Word. That we actually look into it so much that His idea is for us to become the very reflection of what His Word says that we can be. Then if we do that, there must be a double dimension about us which will give us the ability to reflect something back. So let me get this right. I'm looking in the mirror of the Word to find out my shortcomings. All right, that's one dimension by which I'll perceive. But because I am a human being and both of my eyes being able to focus, I'll be able to look at that and pick up another dimension in the mirror, which a photograph or an artistic ability to draw of you or me would show something only one-sided. But if the Spirit of God can help me and I can look in the mirror, I can see what I am, what I need to be, where I need to go. But I can also look by His Spirit enlightening me and see what He wants me to become and actually see Christ in my life. Is that what you want? Now, if we look at it from just one-dimensional perspective and we spend all of our life looking at our shortcomings and our failures, we become so discouraged, so despondent, we say, why even try? Now, a person who does that, you realize, are not looking in the mirror of the Word with the right dimensional view because they're constantly looking at themselves. And no matter how close you are to God, how much you love God, you're going to have mistakes, you're going to have faults and failures. And the church said, oh, Brother Donnie, not me. One of yours is lying already. I see it right now. Yes, you. Preachers, prophets, pastors, every one of us, we're still in this old human flesh, and it's an old stinking outfit. That's all you can make out of it. But the real children of God who have dimensional perception. Now, many animals and insects and things like that, they have an ability given to them by God where they're able to perceive depths and perception. So, thank God, by His grace, we are. Can you imagine how dull our life as human beings would be if we only saw in black and white? If we had no ability to perceive depths, that everything we looked at would be as if though you was looking at it on a piece of paper. So you would look at a person's nose and they look like a punk dog because they look like this. You'd look at a tree and a building and you'd see a house and you'd see landscaping and it would all look like it was all on this flat piece of paper. But God made your eyes to where they would have the ability to have perception of depths. Praise the Lord. So in this sense, I don't believe He just done that so that we'd be a human being and be able to perceive depths that way, but also spiritually that He would give us the ability to look beyond being a nominal Laodicean Christian and just be a photograph of a Christian, but we'd be able to look into a deeper degree of what is a real child of God.
What is it? Is it just a person who comes to church? Is it just a person around the mat? I believe the prophet. I believe every word he said. That's just a photograph Christian. But those who really have the ability to look into the word, they see there's more to it, this message, than just God sending a prophet. What did he have to say? What did he have to say for us in this day? And we believe in that, then there is a message that God's brought to us that gives us the ability to perceive more than even what many in our own ranks perceive. That's all they look at. They look at the photograph epitome of what they think the message is, and they never go on to the perception of depths of what this message is all about. It's not to form another organization. It's not to form another move where everybody rallies around this man the way they did Luther, or the way they did Wesley, or the way they did the founders of the Pentecostal move. It is to bring this people to a realization of who they are in Christ Jesus. The rapture will not come when we recognize who Brother Branham is, but the rapture will come, he said, when the bride sees who she is. And you'll never see who you are just by you looking into the Word and limiting what you see by your faults and your failures. So can't you see why we must have perception or double dimension, by which they call it duality, where we're able to look and to see, and they found it out through 2D, 3D mirrors as well, where they're able to bend the glass and cut the glass in a different way, and the light will hit the glass in one dimension, in two dimensions, and in three dimensions, and according to the way the light hits it on the angle, it will be able to break it up and reflect different colors. And yet, you take that mirror, you pull it apart, have only one dimension or two dimension, you'll never get the same thing. So each dimension that you add, it gives something and it breaks it up. Then you take that same light, run it through a prism, comes out on the other side of the prism, that light which you and I can see no color in, run it through the prism, sunlight hitting it, what do you find? Seven colors of the rainbow which come on the outside. Run the light back through that prism, reverse process, what do you see? Pure white light which has no color at all. So you see then that God hid the mystery of so many things in light. And light corresponds to the truth of every day. So God correlates the revealing of word, his word, by the measure of light. So you take the Bible and you run it through the pyramid of the last day message, and what do you get? Divided colors on the other side of church ages. Now you try to run that for denominational people which have no perception of death, run that same Bible right back to the other side. They don't see prophets, they don't see church ages, they don't see Malachi 4, they don't see Luke 17. Oh, I'm glad I'm on this side of the pyramid. Oh, praise be to God. I'm glad I'm on this side where I can see what the Lord God is doing by running his life through a pyramid message and dividing it on the other side as seven church ages and helping us to see why we needed a prophet of God. If we needed a Bible school to get us ready for the rapture, God had set one here. But we didn't need a Bible school. We needed a prophet's message. If we needed another theologian, God would have given us the best he had. He did give us the best he had. But it wasn't a theologian. It wasn't a scholar. It was Malachi 4. Praise be to God. Now, let us resume from the quote that we was looking at last night from identification. Now, with this foundation of a mirror being two-dimensional, duality, the ability to be able to divide with perception of depth was also of face value. Now, watch this. Brother Man speaking about being like Christ, and he said, a man cannot be that himself, be like the Lord Jesus. There's no way to educate to it. There's no way to join it. There's no way to baptize it. There's no way of doing nothing to it, only kill it. Now, he's speaking about us, what must happen to us. Let it be born again, and a new nature come in. That's the only way. Kill that nature of yourself. You might become that. Now watch, you and I, only way that we can ever become really born again is allow the Spirit of God to annihilate that nature, and he will never do it without your consent. He will never come over the top of your free moral agency and say, I'm going to kill that old worldly nature and I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost whether you want to or not. No, sir. God will never do one individual that way. He will do it when you and I consent and say, God, I'm sick of who I am. I'm sick of this fallen nature. I want you to take this nature away from me. Let the holy fire of God break upon that nature and destroy my nature and let me be born again. That, my friends, is a new birth. Then the Word becomes a living thing. It expresses itself through you. Now keep in mind a mirror. It expresses itself through you. Then you're looking in the glass when people sees you as a mirror. Wow. So you mean I'm looking in the glass, and while I'm looking, they're looking at me, and I'm looking in the mirror, and they're seeing a mirror. If that ain't two-dimensional, I don't know what I'm talking about. Now, I'm looking at the glass to find out who I am, where I am. What I need to do is I'm looking and surrendering. And the more I look, the more I surrender. And the more I surrender, the more I want to become. And I don't realize that the spiritual emotion of God is actually backlining my soul with silver. Silver, of course, is the metal of redemption. Gold is the metal of deity. And bronze and brass is the metal of judgment. So silver, they don't take mirrors and make gold mirrors. They do not make mirrors out of brass, but they make mirrors out of silver. And silver is redemption. So God helps me as I look into redemption that I can actually become an instrument by which He will redeem others. Don't let this stagger you, but God saves you so you can be a savior. Woo! Glory to God. I like the devil like to lose his false teeth on that one. God saves you that you can be a savior. He redeems you that you might redeem others. He reconciles you that you might have the ministry of reconciliation. He gave you a mirror so you can become a mirror. In short, I'll never be happy till the elect of Happy Valley are nothing but Almighty God in flesh. I'm not wanting a glee club. I'm not wanting the old age society. I'm not wanting this and that. As your pastor, I will never be satisfied until the ultimate of all goals has been reached. That deity is personified in this church. I realize it'll not be every member. I'm not asking for that, but it will be in the elect. That ain't my word. That's God's promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Notice, Brother Bam said, God has made a way. People won't read the Bible. So God has made you a Bible. Lord Jesus. How many believe this? So people won't read the Bible. So what do they read when they turn to the chapter of your life? So you mean this is what the message is? These people lie and cheat and do this and that. This is what Christianity is? They ain't going to find that in the pages of my life because it ain't going to be there. I refuse. Listen to me. I refuse for anything to be in the pages of my life that's unlike Christ Jesus. Because God's given me and you, if you've got the Holy Ghost, self-control. The devil made me do it. The devil cannot make me do one thing that I will not allow him to do. Get this out of your mind that the devil is omnipotent and all-powerful. And the devil can make you do this and make you do that. He cannot make you do one thing unless you submit to it and you want to do it. And we're using the devil for our flimsy excuse. Come on there, children. Oh, but I tell you, Brother Donnie, the devil come on me and I cuss like a sailor. No, the devil made me do it. The devil never done it. You surrendered to it. If you didn't want to do it, you could have stopped your tongue and said, tongue, don't you say that no more. You mouth, you hush yourself right now. You're a son of God. You don't talk that way. There's only one being that can make me do anything, and that's the Almighty God. Demons out of hell cannot make me sin. They cannot make me lie. They're not big enough. Poor fella, he's passed out. Wake up, devil. Wake up. I ain't done. I got to beat on you some more. Donnie, you mean you really believe that? I really believe that with all of my heart. He cannot make me commit adultery. He cannot make me lie. He cannot make me go to hell. He can't even kill me till God said it's time. And then when it is time, all he can do is just ford me across the river. To make him almost like Santa Claus. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. That's a lie. Nah. Notice James says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continuous therein. He don't just look on Sunday. He looks every day of his life. He being not a forgetful hearer. Now hearer characterized by forgetfulness in contrast to a hearer which is characterized by doing the work. Is what James is going to show us in this verse. A hearer which is characterized by forgetfulness compared to a hearer which is characterized by obeying the word. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Now there's many things that God wrote in the Old and the New Testament that he wanted his people to remember. When God tells us to remember something, it's for a significance. Now he would tell the children of Israel, remember certain things, and that memory would help them deal with other types of scenarios in life. Now let's read a couple of them if you would. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 15, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Now it's amazing that God knew the children of Israel was going to have maid servants and men servants, and God would tell them, remember you also was a servant. Now what's it got to do with them having servants? They're going to remember by their memory. It will jog them when they remember how they were treated. So God said, you remember at one time you was a servant, and that will help you to treat your servants properly. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18. That thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Now notice, not now a servant. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Wow. So you mean if you get rich, or if you get things in this life, you're to remember it is the Lord God who gives you the ability to get wealth. Why is this important? Because you'll think you're the one who knows how to make money. Now, whenever folks forget this, they are beginning to change their attitude away from the word. And then what are they doing? They're putting their confidence and their trust in their flesh. I'm a businessman. I can do this, man. I know how to do that. You better remember the Lord God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Now, Paul, what he says, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. Now, why do we need to remember that? Why do we need to know the rock from whence we were hewn? Notice again in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You mean Christians can forget things. Christians can forget important things. That's why you need to be reminded. Now look at the word slip. I found this amazing this morning. I looked at this. Lest the salvation which these things heard show us how to obtain slip away from us. Our salvation? You mean a person by forgetting certain things can lose their salvation. Now remember, you can lose your salvation, but you can't lose the seal. You can be saved today and destroyed tomorrow. But if you're saved today, you're saved forever. If you're sealed. Now watch, in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful. Look at this word. Remember, to remind, to be recalled, or to return to one's mind, to remind oneself. So here we see that God sees how that we as human beings are. That we have a tendency to forget very important things. And a person can look into the word, and because it is the tendency of the human nature to forget, they can look into the word, they can leave service on Sunday morning and make absolutely no change whatsoever. Why? It is the tendency of human beings to forget very important things and remember very stupid things. I wish sometimes I could figure out a way to erase my mind. of things I no longer want there. Don't you? Isn't it amazing how you can remember stupid old songs and old crazy stuff that you can remember word for word? Uh-oh, some of y'all's going to hum that song the rest of the service, ain't you? You're going to remember things, and for you to try to remember a quote or remember a scripture, my, you cross John 3 with Luke 8, and my time you come out of the devil's just on his side laughing because you got that thing so twisted up. And yet you'll remember an old love song or remember this and that and the other. Isn't it amazing how the indelibility of the human being to record and to keep and to maintain negativity. You say, God help us. How I long for the day when all those things will totally be eradicated from our memory and all that will ever be there is that which is righteous and pure and true. Amen. And yet as humans we can forget who gave us our wealth. We can forget the things of salvation. So thank God for preachers. I said, thank God for preachers. Notice this. Peter said that you might be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now watch Jude, verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. Now this is what he wants them to remember. How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. So God saved them, then God destroyed them. Why? Salvation can be lost. Oh, come on now, some of you free wills. Hallelujah. Salvation, a person, there's millions of people, friends, that have experienced salvation. And many millions of those have lost their salvation. Because they never went any farther than salvation to a seal. Once you're sealed, it's yours forever. God saved the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. They experienced salvation. But they did not continue to go on, and they lost what they had, and the same God who saved them destroyed them. Why would Jude want to remind us of that? Why do you figure? Lest the same thing happen to us. Now watch, he goes a dimension deeper now. He goes up into the heavens. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. What has this got to do with Christians? Because Christians, if an angel of God, which never smoked a cigarette, never cursed, never done anything humanity as far as the way we know is wrong, and they could lose their estate, their habitation, their place where they once dwelt, Jude says, remember this. Remember this. Praise the Lord. Watch this again. Revelation chapter 2 verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now this is, of course, Jesus speaking to the church age, to another church age. Remember therefore now that thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. What's he reminding them of? Remember what I gave you initially. Remember what you heard. Oh, friends, it's so sad when you look and see folks that used to be so in love with God. They used to love to go to church. They used to live the word, but somehow they've got away from it. They forgot. And they don't want to be reminded. Notice James says again in verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now remember, the word looketh is not a person that is a casual glance, but it's to stoop down and to meticulously inspect. Wow. Wow. Look at that. Oh my. Look at that. Wow. Y'all looking at me and you're saying, what does he see? I'm seeing things you all don't see. Because I'm looking at the carpet. I found the pattern. I just counted the weave number. I found how many times the dark brown repeated itself. See, you never even noticed that, did you? You walked right in over the top of this new carpet and never even counted how many times that dark brown weave and how much weave pattern there was in the carpet, did you? You know why? You never looked at some of you. I don't like the color. around me. I don't like this. That's all you knew about it. But you see, there's so much more. Some look into them. I don't like holiness. I don't like this. But I'm wanting to find out the weave. I'm wanting to find the pattern. I'm wanting to find out what has got God in his mind. What is he saying? What's he got in his mind? I want to look at it intricately. Oh my. James says, a man that's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed or his doing. Now this man is going to be blessed, not for what he does, but in what he's doing. Now listen carefully. Not for what he does, but for in what he is doing. You see, you can mimic Christian works and not be in Christ doing it. And you will not enjoy it. Believe me, after a while it'll become boring to you and you'll just absolutely want to do something else. But if you're in Christ, then you are doing it and it's not legalism to you. It is not bondage to you. It is actually liberty. Now, watch this again in Jehovah Jireh. The prophet said, now take a look at yourself in God's mirror. And just see if you can identify yourself tonight. If you've been living in the days of Noah and the time of the flood, what side would you be identified with? Now you realize some of the folks that have left the message, blasting the message and all the websites and all that. Do you understand where they'd have been in the days of Noah? Mr. Impatient, Mr. Skeptic, and Mr. Unbeliever. They would have been outside the ark in Noah's day, taunting Noah. You false prophet! My grandpa told me 100 years ago, you said it was going to rain. You false prophet! But if I'd been living the days of Noah, I'd have been Japheth. Well, how can you say that? Because the same spirits in me would have been identified around that word. I'd have been pitching. I'd have been carrying pitch. I'd have been carrying wood. I'd been hammering. I might have made furniture in the ark. I don't know what I'd done, but I'd have been a part of the message of the day. Take me out of this day. Stick me in any age it's ever been, and I'd have been on the believer side. Why? Because that's who I am in the mirror. I am not a photograph of a Christian. I am a two-dimensional believer. Now, the important thing is not what would I be, but what would you be? If this was the days of Noah, where would you be? When there's only one man on the earth that had the message. And this man was not a boat builder. He was a farmer. You imagine God making known to him the revelation of what he was going to do, and no one saying to God, God, I ain't no builder. You see the doors and windows in my house ain't even plumb. They're plumb all right, plumb out of square. Lord, you want me to build a boat? Who ever heard of such a thing? There's no way in the world that I can build this boat. A boat? What is a boat? I've never even seen a boat before. Much less the dimensions that you're giving me to say as long as it is, and as wide as it is, and as tall as it is. God, I don't know. I could never. But I've called you to build it. Noah would have been my daddy, and he'd have called a family meeting and said, all right, family, I'm quitting farming maters and taters and beans and cabbage and broccoli and asparagus. We're going into boat building. Dad, what are you talking about? We never built a boat in our life. But the Almighty God appeared to me, and I'd have been sitting around Noah's table, and I said, say on, Daddy, say on. You mean the Lord God? Yes, the Lord God come to me by vision. The Lord God gave me the plan. But Daddy, there ain't nobody else building boats. That don't matter. The Lord God told me to build a boat. Are you with me? I'd have stood up from around the table and said, I'm with you. What about it, Happy Valley? Are we with him or not? You imagine by vision as he began to draw out what he saw in the vision. And we're looking at this gigantic monstrosity. And we're saying, Lord, have mercy. How is this ever going to be? Is God going to create it? No, sons. We're going to build it. Daddy, I can plow. And I can slop the hogs and feed the chickens. But I ain't never been a boatman. Well, you're fixing to be. Amen. Y'all with me or not? Amen. But then, I wonder if some of you, when you saw him getting the structure and the great beams and the great woods to go down through the middle and start and come the ribs and the structures on the side, if some of you wouldn't pass by and say, what are you doing? Is this something for your garden? I ain't never seen a plow that big. What are you doing? I'm building a boat. A boat? You're 150 miles from the lake. You got a trailer? I don't need no trailer. God's going to bring the water to me. When God gives you the plan for a boat and God don't include the plan of a trailer, don't worry. The water's coming your way. Noah knew he did not have to add to the message of that day and spend another 7 years and make a trailer. If God never included the trailer in the plan, the trailer ain't needed. Let me tell you something else, friend. If God needed another prophet after Malachi 4, he would have sent it, but he didn't need one. God don't need a major voice. There is no H-day messenger. You don't need nothing after 7. Oh, God sent Brother Branham, but then God sent Brother Donnie to lead the bride on. That's a lie to hell. We don't need no other universal messenger. We've had the one we need. All we need now is innkeepers to just take care of the sick and feed the gospel. Help the sheep to come on and grow up and build this ark. Hallelujah. Think. Look into the mirror this morning. What's that pounding? What's that beating? And if you'd have walked up and said, I want proof. I want proof that God spoke to you. I ain't been able to find no record where 16 men fell off that bridge, you said, Noah. You mean I'm to change my whole life because of you? Where's the deacon board? Where's the trustee board? Where's the board of counselors that we can have a witness other than you? You're the only one that we can trust, you say. You imagine them old boys after so and the beating. And the hammered, and the shaving, yes, and pitching, and boiling the tar, doing all this on one man's word for it. The people pass him. I say, hey, y'all want to go down to the saloon? Get drunk? No, we don't drink in our family. Now, boys, you've been out there in that sun too long. You better get away from that man. He's bringing a reproach on you. He's a nut. He's getting every one of y'all talked about. But old Donnie, I mean Japheth, standing up there just a sawing away. I'm a working on a building. I'm a working on a building. I'm a working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. Today, boys, what y'all gonna haul in that big boat? Hippopotamuses, elephants, camels, donkeys. Not the two-legged kind, the four-legged kind. Oh, you boys, are you starting a Noah's zoo? Is that what y'all going to charge admission where everybody can come over and see these animals? Noah say, boys, ignore them. Just keep on working. Oh, Jabez, I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. Bring me some pitch, boys. And there was their wives. Bring me a drink of water, honey. Bring me a sandwich, would you? What y'all doing today? Working on the ark. What y'all doing tomorrow? Working on the ark. What y'all doing next day? Working on the ark. You imagine some of them people come around the hood and all preach. I'll tell you one thing, it's kind of rain. Well, you know, there's like some of the message folks, they decide to go back after about 25 years. Well, maybe, Brother Donnie, I mean, Noah's preaching something different now. Maybe he's more enlightened. I think I'll go to church this morning. Of course, they only went on Sunday morning. But I think I'll go to church this morning. So Noah got up. He said, I was out this morning praying. They said, he's got something new to say. I heard the birds sing. I saw the animals out there and I thought, it's gonna rain! They just got up, walked out and said, ah, same old, same old. He's sincere, but he's so wrong. Was he? There said Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Amen, Daddy. That's right. Can y'all explain it? No. Amen, Daddy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You imagine old Japheth holding up a finger where he tore the whole side of it off, hit the wrong nail. Ham was over there, and here he was banging the image. He was banging the image of reproach in his own body. Being identified, they smelt like pitch and they smelt like wood. What was it? They were the mirror of the day. They didn't have a Bible to where you and I have said, the Bible said, the Bible said, the Bible said. The only Bible they had was their daddy. Amen. And their daddy stood there, God told me this. Then they become that word. Friends, let folks laugh at us. Let them laugh at us for believing holiness. We're working on a building. And it ain't a Laodicean monarch either. No, sir. It's a building made by God Himself. Let them laugh at your long hair, sisters. One day the demons will come out of hell and locusts will come on this earth. Locusts will come on this earth with stingers in their tails. And they will sting the women who have cut off their hair. Women who sit right here in this church and bob their hair. Some of them will be stung to death by locusts in the tribulation period. What do you see? Y'all want a pitch? Y'all want a hammer? Y'all want to build? Y'all want to gather the hay together and the rhubarb and all the rest of the stuff, whatever we need for this journey. We ain't never been this way before, but I've got confidence in this man of God we're following. Amen. He ain't just an ordinary preacher. He ain't just a man that fell out of the tree somewhere. He's a God called, God vindicated prophet. Wonder if we could go up to Noah and say, hey, where's the vindication that you're a prophet of God? How many folks have you raised from the dead? How many healing campaigns you had? But God revealed to him the plan. And it was so impressed upon his being that his family could see a two-dimensional perspective in the man's life. It had so changed him. He was a man of low expectation. A man that never really thought God would do much through him. But after this visitation, something changed Noah. And the ark became personified in this man. You imagine his son saying, Daddy's not the same as he was. He is not the same as he was. Infidel come to a little girl one day and said, I'm going to tell you something. You going to church, you reading your Bible, there is no such a thing as God. She said, sir, don't tell my daddy. Because when he come to God, he give up smoking. He give up drinking. He quit beating mama. He quit beating me. Don't tell my daddy. Oh, hallelujah. You can tell me if you want to, but I ain't going to believe you. You can tell me if you want to, but I ain't going to believe you. I've done seen the effects of what he can do. Look, children, where would we be in the days of Moses? In the days of Elijah? Would you have been on the Jezebel side that would have joined Israel and said, this is too hard, it's too straight, nobody can live this? Or would you have been with them 7,000 that said, I'm still following the message. I don't care what they say. Elijah had such a falling away, he thought everybody had left. Until the Lord God reminded Elijah, I've got 7,000 under the seals. I've got 7,000. They've never bowed their knee to Baal. Oh, I believe if I'd have been living in that day, I'd have been one of them names under them seals. What about you? Amen. Notice the prophet said, what child would you be identified with? If you was living the days of Moses, if you lived in the days of Christ when all the churches was against him, he had to stand alone in the things he did. Only thing was God was with him. The only thing, even all of his disciples nearly walked away from him. But what side, your present state now, where you go, what side will you be on? What side will you be on right now when you see him again right among us? Now, if we've been in the days of Jesus and Caiaphas and the high priest, would you have been one of them in Pilate's hall that would come up and made a false accusation against Jesus? Said, I heard Jesus say he would tear down Solomon's temple and build it again in 3 days. He never said no such a thing. He spoke of the temple of his body. Would you have stood there in Pilate's hall and said, this man is a blasphemer. He's a usurper of authority. I heard him say all kinds of things. Something to think about, isn't it? You see, look at what you are today. And that'll tell you what you'd have done today, said Jesus. If you'd come in the days of Paul, would you have been like Demas? When Demas looked around and he saw a man like this, such a ministry, and only had one coat. And he rode up there to one of the servants and said, hey, it's getting cold down here. When you come, would you bring my coat? And Demas looked at this man and said, he's lost his anointing. Something wrong with him. I remember when you used to walk with that man, it's my people blind. But I hear he went up out of that town and Alexander the coppersmith run him out. Well, they told me he left over here at this city and they had to let him down the wall in a basket and run like a coward, a chicken. Some of them people getting together. You know what? Brother Branham, Paul, is losing his anointing. Demas was rich and intellectual. Demas looked at him and said, I can't be identified with this no longer. I just can't do it. You know where he's at right now? He's sitting up there in the Marmatine prison. I've been at the Marmatine myself. In Rome. And they have a stream of water running down through there. That's your toilet. That's where you drink from. The rats is running all over you. A prophet of God in the Marmatine prison. The blessed books that you sit down and read, the book of Colossians, the book of Romans, the book of Ephesians, come from where? Not from some palace. From the Marmatine. A man there sitting writing about freedom. Rats running over his legs while he's writing it. What would you have done? You said, my pastor's up there in jail. The prophet of this age is up there in prison. He ain't even near as many people as he was. Been years since he smote anybody blind. Seemed like he's running from everything. But you imagine them saints there when they got them letters. And they turn over and said, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He had predestinated us before the foundation of the world. You imagine the mysteries of God that was flowing out of this man. And yet they say, man, I never read such writing in my life. Where's this man at? Oh, he got killed in a car wreck. Uh-oh, well, that proves what? So did that prove John the Baptist wasn't a true man of God? By God letting his head be took off of his body? Absolutely not. Can't you see, children, God does it in such a way that only the two-dimensional people can look beyond all of that and say, yes, Lord, I believe it. I'll follow it with all of my soul. Why, they're looking so deep into the mirror, they can't see nothing else but that word. Let's revert this church back to 2,000 years ago. We could easily be one of the churches in Thessalonica or Corinth or Ephesus or Laodicea. We've all gathered here on Sunday morning. I'm going to read from a scroll that was written by our prophet.
He used to come through several years ago and preach to us. But now he's in jail. Would some of you begin to question your mind? I'm not sure I can follow a prophet like this. He's in prison. He's going to be beheaded. As a Roman citizen, you know what waits him. They're going to behead the man. They're bringing all these accusations against him. And it's like nobody can refute him. Would you sit there today and say, God, help our prophet. God, be with him. Inspire him, Lord, till more of these words come out of his mouth. Or would you sit there as I was reading Ephesians and Galatians saying, I'm not sure I can even believe that. And they said, this man is in prison. You know, if there's fire, there's always smoke somewhere. There's something else in behind there. There's some sin somewhere. You just mark it down. But if I'd been in that day and I'd have been a preacher, because I was called to be a preacher before the foundation of the world. So Paul would have wrote to Tychicus and Timotheus and Titus and Donius. And Genus and Terius. And all the rest of us. Because you know what? I'd have been standing with him. If I'd have went to, I'd have went to prayer, God, I don't understand why you allowed your manservant to be thrown in prison. Lord, we just got news back that the man's going to be killed. I don't understand why, Lord, but I know these words cannot come from a man. I know these words that I'm reading into the congregation, they cannot come from a man. How can you say that, Brother Donnie? Because I look in the mirror and I see what I am. I'm looking beyond this. If I stop there and say, well, I might have been an infidel. I might have been a skeptic. Oh no, that's the outside. I've got two-dimensional vision. I'm going to look beyond the flesh. I'm going to look deeper into that man and say, oh, I see my seed. I see my soul. I am a son of God. I'm not serpent seed. I'm not of the devil. I see Christ.
Notice Brother Bram said, what side would you be? What side would you be on right now when you see him? Right among us. As we continue to look, and the dimension opens up more to where we're allowed to peer deeper than any of the previous ages have ever looked. What will you find? What will you see? Mirror, mirror, in the Word, who's the fairest that has been heard? It is the bride, don't you see? For she has predestinated seed. It was her in my mind before the world began. I thought of her when there was no angels, when there was no dirt and there was no sand. I thought of her before the stars. I thought of her before the devil. I thought of her before anything. And when there is no more devil, she still will be. Mirror, mirror, who are you going to get? I'm coming to get my sweetheart to take her away. But you gotta keep looking. You gotta inspect. You can't just take a casual look at salvation. You can't take a casual look at the message. You'll stumble. But you have to look at the interwoven intricacy of the fibers and the pattern.
Amen.
Watching this prayer going beyond the camp, Brother Bram says, Lord, there's something near them now, some other person. The person of Christ, the invisible to the natural eye, has caused them to make a decision. In their own life, they know as they look into a mirror, they see there's something missing. And they want their lives to be shaped according to the promise of God. You see, friends, the Baptist people, they look in a Baptist mirror. They get dressed in a Baptist mirror to go to church. They put on a miniskirt, tight clothes, paint your face, all that sort of thing. It don't condemn them. Because their Baptist mirror has no condemnation of dressing like a Jezebel. But that's the same mirror that they're getting ready for the rapture for. Now, can you imagine the disappointment when they're getting ready by this mirror and Jesus will pass them by? I don't want to get ready by Baptist mirror. I don't want to get ready by a so-called message mirror. I want to get ready by the mirror of this Word. I don't don't want to get ready about what you think. I love you, but I don't want to get ready about what you think and what you believe. I want to look into the mirror of this word and get a real two-dimensional view of myself. They raise their hands with deep sincerity. Help them, Lord, to the great door tonight, to the sheepfold. May they come in sweetly and humbly. Grant it. They are yours, Lord. Deal with them. Let me go just a few more minutes. Now you take the word in your heart and believe it. You can look at you. Go up and look at the mirror and you can see where you are. You can know. You believe we can know? Well, I'm hoping I'm a son of God. No! You can know. How do you look in God's mirror? Does it reflect a daughter or a son of God? Is there something what you hear that doesn't make you hate the man that's saying it? You know, the fivefold ministry, every one of them has a mirror. But to be honest with you, there's really something about your pastor holding that mirror. And evangelists can come through, and man alive, he can preach and you enjoy it, and we enjoy that. But you know what? A pastor can say things and get Bible things that you're skinning an evangelist say on. An apostle come through and he's talking about the great works over here and over there and over there. God knows exactly which one to put over the church constantly. He could have put the office of a prophet over the church constantly and the prophet would preach to you 3 times a week. But God knew that was not the appropriate way. God chose the office he knew was the best. Oh my. Oh my. And that was what the shepherd, the pastor, he has a certain way of holding the mirror. He can fry you, deep fry you, scorch you, burn you, and you smile and love him like I don't know what. He's better than Nan or Pudding or Eve. Oh my. You just look at him and say, I love that man of God, but sometimes I like to pinch his head off. Oh my. But you keep coming back again and again. You know what? It's the way he holds the mirror. He's called by God to hold it Wednesday night and Saturday night and Sunday morning, year after year after year after year. And you keep coming back year after year after year. Why? He's called of God to hold the mirror in front of your face to get you ready. The evangelist comes through, the prophet's minister. Oh, thank God for all of it. Notice this, Brother Branham said, does it make you hate the man that's saying it? Or is there something pulsing? I know that man is right. Because that's in the scripture. Now watch what that is. That's the vitamins needed for this body. Now look at the title of the sermon, Things That Are To Be. So he's talking about your body over there that's being formed. And you're going into it as the baby from the earth. So when you acknowledge your need and you say, this is the truth, that acknowledgement, sincere acknowledgement is a cry for the vitamins needed. You're blessed, friend, when you can see you're wrong. You just took a big dose of vitamin C. And a big dose of vitamin D. Would you like me to go down through the list of your vitamins this morning? I can. As a bride, we need vitamin A, a whole big dose of alpha. We need vitamin B, which is, of course, birth of the word. We need vitamin C, which is Christ. We need vitamin D, which is deity. We need vitamin E, which is everything. We need vitamin F, which is first. You want me to keep on going? We need all these vitamins in us, and when we can recognize we're wrong and something from within our soul says, God, help me. Your vitamins that was lacking in that body got a hold to the second dimensional part of you and spoke out, I need vitamin C. And God said, one mega dose of vitamin C. On the way. Praise be to God. But he can't do it if you don't ask for it. Oh. That's the vitamins needed for this body that's ordained to be there. A house that other one is going to. It's going to need when you get there.
So you hold the mirror. Oh God, these wrinkles. Lord Jesus. Is that age spots in my hands? It is. What in the world am I doing with age spots? Duh. Carol told me last night, she said, you know your hair's getting a little thin on the top. My barber had already told me that. I didn't receive it. That's a lying devil. Not my barber now. I got too much to be concerned about without going like some of the rest of our brothers. I can spend all my time looking at that. Oh God. Oh God, I'm getting old. Oh God, I can't preach as long as I used to. God, I can't drive and do all. Oh God, oh God. Or I can look into that other dimension and say, praise God, there's a new man waiting for me. I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on living until my body finally catches up with the revelation my soul has already got. My soul has already got the revelation that I'm an 18-year-old man. Glory to God. And I'm waiting for my body to get the same revelation. Praise the Lord. Pardon me while I get my breath. Why? I can look and see. This is not a flat picture of Christianity. It's two-dimensional. Let's stand. For those of you that would be interested, Lord willing, next Saturday night, as far as I know right now, we'll be starting out with this scripture in James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. Uh-oh, another Dollywood weekend. But this time, Brother Donnie's in town. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Whew. On second thought, maybe I should have you seated and I'll preach it right now. Because I got a feeling there ain't going to be near as many people here Saturday night. I took care of my way home last night. I said, you know, tonight's service so encouraged me. I said, because as a preacher, as a pastor, I get so discouraged sometimes having to constantly preach on you. Quit this and quit that. Do this and do that. Stop this and do that. Seems like that's all I ever preach. And I told her, I said, I get so discouraged with it sometimes. But I realized after looking at it last night, is I need to look in the mirror every day. Well, I sweated last night. My eyes were as red as if I was been on a drunk. My hair was wet. So whenever I sweat and get it all in my thick head, I said, hair. When I got up this morning, that old rooster had been there again. You think you're laughing now. You would have laughed if you'd have seen me. It was sticking up all over my head. But you know what? I didn't take my shoe and rear back and hit my mirror and say, you stinking prick, prick. I mean, mirror. I'm glad it revealed to me that I needed to wash my hair. And you better be glad. So I took a shower and I washed my hair and I combed it down. It was so thick I have to brush it and comb it 2 or 3 different times to get it to lay down. So I combed it and dried it and sprayed it and went downstairs and finished getting ready and come back up and sprayed it again and put my clothes on and sprayed it again. And every time I did that, I had to have the help of a mirror. Oh, thank God. Let me say it before you today. Thank God for the mirror. Thank God for the mirror. Thank God. Let me say it this way. For men who are not ashamed to hold it before us. Thank God, Brother Jack. For men who aren't ashamed in this compromising age that'll hold the mirror before us. Though we may leave sometimes and feel so low, but let's keep looking. Keep looking into the intricacy of the fiber, of the woven pattern. If you look close enough, you'll see yourself.
Amen. That's good.
Many, many years ago, before I ever came to the message, I was sincere in Pentecost. I was as blind as I could be. But there's one thing I always had, even back there. I was sincere and I loved the Lord. And I wanted to be right. And I went before Him in prayer one day and I said, Lord, I know I'm not nothing. I know I'll never be nothing. But if there's something that You could use me for, I'd be glad to give myself over to You. And all of a sudden His presence come near me. And He said, the same hands that shaped Isaiah shaped you. The same hands that molded Moses molded you. From that time on, I have never needed to be big, important. I don't need that. Some preachers do. I don't need that. He must have known that I needed that. It's just like it anchored something within me and settled that forever. Praise God. Let me tell you, those words just aren't for me. Those are for you. As a son and daughter of God, the same potter that molded Moses, that great vessel, and set him in his museum, is the same one that molded you housewives, you painters, you farmers, you electricians, whatever you are, the same Lord God. You don't need to be famous, rich, or important. You just need to be what the Master molded you to be. That's all.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, You'd be able to take these thoughts, dear God. May they be able to anchor in our hearts. Lord Jesus, I believe what I've preached today. If I would have been in the days of Noah, I'd have been one of his sons. There's no way I'd have stood out there and laughed at the prophet and ridiculed him, made fun of him. If I'd have been born an Israelite and I'd been in Egyptian slavery and bondage, when the prophet of God raised up and showed three signs, I find it so amazing that You send Moses and He gives these three signs to prove to Israel who He is, and You sent Brother Branham with thousands and people still don't believe. It shows the hardness of the age. We don't even know what signs You gave Jeremiah. There's none written in the Bible. There's none written in the Bible that You gave signs about Isaiah, Zechariah, Malachi, Haggai. But if I'd have lived in their day, I'd have believed them. They never had the visible signs You gave Your prophet today. You knew this age would be so full of unbelief. You'd sent verification and vindication after another, and still their hearts would be so hardened. Lord, when I say this, You understand where I'm coming from. If Brother Branham never performed one miracle, if not one sign or one wonder would ever been out of his ministry, the real bride would have believed anyway. Because it was that word that got her attention. Lord, Harry and Chuck, and Brother Greg and the different ones that was in Pentecost, we started coming into the message about the same time frame. We'd seen signs, we'd seen wonders, we'd seen miracles. It wasn't that that got our attention. It was what the man had to say. It was that word. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh God, may we hold up the mirror today. Another ark is being built, as it were. Another prophet is being criticized and run down. May we take sides with the word. We don't want to be harsh, hateful, mean, or contrary with any of those who oppose us. But we will stand for what we believe is right. Even so, Lord, we will die if necessary. Lord Jesus, we worship You today. Help me to look into this mirror in a two-dimensional way, Lord. May the duality of my image be able to reflect itself, because the mirror has the power to reflect duality. It has the ability to reflect two-dimensional. So help me when I see them wrong to make the wrongs right. And then to look into that other image in the mirror. It's going to be you. As we behold our face in that glass, and we are changed from glory unto glory. Praise be to God. Help us, Lord, to turn our eyes and find Jesus. Grant it, Lord. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. How many loves Him with all your heart? You thank Him for the mirror of His Word that helps you to look and see what you are. Let's just worship Him together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful grace. And the things of this world will grow strange. Lord Jesus, you see these things, Lord, that's been happening in Leah's body. Dear God, we believe your power is greater than the power of the devil. We're not sure, Lord, what it is physically, what weakness it is that Satan is using, but we know it is him. It's not you. Lord God, I join my faith, Lance and Erica, and with the rest of these believers. I curse this evil. Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed Father. Lord, I lay my hands on her in obedience to your word. I don't understand how it works, but all I know is your mirror says it. We believe you, Father. In Jesus' name, may this go from her body, Lord. Grant it, dear God. We believe you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. You believe Jesus, okay? You just testify and say, Jesus has healed me, and I'm going to be better. Okay? Hallelujah. Turn your eyes home, sweet Jesus.
And the kings of
bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the light of His glory and grace.
Daddy, that's me. Is that you? Don't tell your mama, but tell your daddy. Daddy, that's me. That's me. I'm not a creature of time. I'm not a has-been. I'm not a hope-so. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm not a maybe-so. I will make it. Praise the Lord, I will make it. I am the reason there is a rapture. I'm not going to look up and go. I'm the reason there's such an event as a rapture.
Praise God. You believe that? Praise the Lord. Go ahead, give Him a hand. He's worthy of it. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Let's just raise our hands now before we go for our lunch. Let's just raise our hands. And just give Him some love. There's one place that God receives the worshiper. That's in Christ Jesus. If you're in there today, the family name is on the door that you walk through. Then you're baptized into the name. And there's where God and His people meet. And they worship together. Praise God. Let's just worship Him now. Oh, Jesus, we worship you today. We adore your name, Lord. Lord, we want to look at your plan even closer. See the woven word of the fabric. See the pattern, the types, the antitypes, the shadows. We want to study it. We want to look at its intricate woven threads through the scriptures. We want to see ourselves in the pages of your word. Lord, that we can walk out of these doors changed people. Not only changed, but charged by the power of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, just for a few moments before we go, may we just be given the golden divine privilege of laying back against your bosom, as it were, drinking from your cup. Let us whisper to you as we hear you whisper back to us. Take us in your arms, Lord Jesus, as we will take you into ours. We will whisper to you the love secrets which we don't give to basketball and football and soccer, which we don't give to our jobs. You whisper to us the secrets that you don't give to these flirters, that you give only to your wife. Praise God. Sing it, Harry. Let's just worship Him now before we go.
The more I seek you.
Give it to him now, children. Give him your love, your adoration.
The more I find you.
Give to him that which you give no one else. The intimacy of your soul.
The more I find you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
The more,
yes, Lord God,
I love
the more I love you, Lord God.
I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. This love.